Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 6th of September 2016 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Welcome to my Facebook audience. We're doing a live streaming of the program, so something new. You know, take advantage of this technology, so I hope you have fun with it. I'll try not to look directly into the camera. Just, you know, it's another distraction. I don't know why did I do this to myself, but I chose to anyway. Again, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram and follow me at Rillo Gerald Quinn. Busy program for this next 45 minutes. With just 48 hours until the NFL season kicks off. Carolina traveling up to Denver to take on the defending Super Bowl champions and Trevor Siemian. I still can't get over the fact that a defending Super Bowl champion is going to have a guy who I've never heard of starting their quarterback facing the reigning and league MVP. Let that process for a couple of minutes. You know. I mean, they're coming in with Trevor Siemian. And listen, Denver understands. And John Elway is no dummy. This guy, Elway, is a smart football guy. He knows what he's doing. He wasn't going to throw, you know, $40, $50 million at Brock Osweiler, who was unproven, who had some talent but was unproven. You know, you re-sign Bob Miller, and you take advantage of a two-year Super Bowl honeymoon. You win a Super Bowl, you get at least 2 years. You get at least 2 years to kind of like to mess around, to not rebuild your team, but you get, you know, 2 years to where you don't have to make the playoffs and don't have to win, you don't have to get back to the Super Bowl. So Denver has a 2 year window to build from the draft, get a quarterback. Who knows about this Siemian? We'll see what the draft pick turns out to be. Who knows about him? So they have some time. They have some time. And again, I don't blame them for a second not re-signing on Brock Osweiler. I don't. The guy, you know, Houston was desperate for a quarterback. They didn't have to make the move, but they were desperate for a quarterback. So that's why they threw all the money at him. On the flip side, you have Carolina, who is trying to get back to a Super Bowl, something that rarely happens, has not happened since. The Super Bowl loser has not gotten back to the Super Bowl since, you got to go back to 1993, the 93 season, where the Bills made a habit of it, of losing Super Bowls and getting back there and back there and back there and losing and losing. Rob Sapp is not listening. He would just, you know, kick his computer or whatever listening device he does, with phone or whatever. But listen, we know the Super Bowl hangover is real when it comes to the Super Bowl losers and for the winners as well, but in particular for the losers. Now, Seattle last year kind of, you know, put that on hold as they got back to the playoffs, actually won a playoff game, and, you know, fared well in the playoffs before bowing out. But Seattle, again, had some playoff pedigree, had some championship pedigree. It's been an interesting year for Carolina. Carolina is not going to sneak up on anybody. Cam Newton is number one with a bullet. All eyes are on him as the league MVP. I still think Carolina is a legit 11 to 13 win team. Still think, you know, from top to bottom, they have one of the three best rosters in all of football. So I think Carolina will be very good. That division is not great with Tampa, New Orleans, and Atlanta. I don't know what to expect out of any of those teams. So the good thing for them is, you know, they're going to play against, have six games where they could easily be 5-1 in that division. So, again, 48 hours away from a Super Bowl rematch. The first time since they started doing this Thursday night game back, I think when New England first, repeated as Super Bowl champions, that – they've had you've had a Super Bowl rematch, and again, a bitter pill if you're Carolina. I thought Carolina coming into that game, Super Bowl, was clearly the better team. I thought Carolina would win that Super Bowl. I was surprised. I'm not going to say shocked, but very surprised that Carolina did not walk out of there walk out of San Francisco without Super Bowl 50. But again, Denver's defense was just too much to handle. Got enough out of Peyton Manning, if you want to call it that. And you know, you came up against a Carolina team that had stage fright. You know, Cam Newton we've seen better players than Cam Newton get to the Super Bowl stage and not show up and have bad games. So I'm not going to go too crazy about that. But again, it'll be very interesting to see how he rebounds as a reigning league MVP and how Carolina rebounds as a Super Bowl runner up, which means nothing. And I mean nothing. Losing the Super Bowl. Losing the Super Bowl. Nobody cares about the Super Bowl loser. Nobody. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. A lot to do. We will talk some college football. It was a big weekend of college football. The biggest opening weekend ever. Lived up to all the billing. A lot to talk about there. A couple of stories of note to talk about in terms of NBA, NFL. That and much, much more. We'll be right back. Is your call number. We are live from the studios of my apartment as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. We will talk about Power. Again, for those who like theatrics and, you know, somebody to die every episode, it just wasn't your episode. It was a plot-driven episode, an episode where the writing takes center stage, and I love the episode. Again, we'll talk more about that as we now will have a 2-week hiatus, which I have plenty of thoughts about that, and you know how that maybe was not the smartest move if you are stars and people who created Power. But maybe, you know, Courtney, I don't think Courtney Kemp Ogbo had anything to do with that. But we'll talk about that. Big weekend in college football. They promoted ESPN as the biggest weekend ever. And a lot of times when you get all that hype and the promotion and big in games with ranked teams, you know, the games just are either bad or, you know, things just don't go according to plan. But this weekend was even better than I expected. Couple of things that come out of it. Number one, we'll start at the top, and it does, like we talk about all the time on this program, and in terms of when we talk football, the importance of the quarterback and how the quarterback now is the most important position, not only in football, of course, but in all the sports. That goes, the exception with that, for the rule for that is Alabama. Alabama does not need a quarterback to win. They really don't. I mean, the quarterback now, and again, I'm not trying to knock the guy. I don't know how good this guy is. Hearns, but I mean, I don't think he's as good as a Florida State quarterback, for his why. We'll talk more about him as my Seminoles took care of business last night. But I feel like I could play quarterback for Alabama and we would win 10 games. I mean, seriously, you're talking about a team that has championship pedigree. You're talking about a team that recruits better than anybody. You're talking about a team with a coach. You want to talk about Bill Belichick being obsessed and crazy. I think Nick Saban is even crazier. And I say that in a good way, out of respect. I think Nick Saban cares more about winning than breathing. I really do. I don't think this guy does he have a house? Does he go home? Does this guy sleep? I mean, this when they step on the field every week, week in and week out, they have a distinct advantage all across the board. Talent, recruiting, coaching, all across the board, they have a distinct advantage. And it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It was amazing, you know, watching that game. And, you know, USC comes out, comes out with the chest all out, gets a couple of field goals. It's, 6-0. Alabama makes a couple of plays. Next thing you know, it's like you're looking up, it's 52-6. And you're like, what happened? USC, for those who are going to knock USC, USC is a talented team. They will finish the year ranked somewhere in the top 20, not top 15, top 10, but somewhere in the top 20. USC will finish ranked. They're very good. They are a good team. I think USC is going to have a good year. Alabama is just that much better than everybody else. They are 8 to 10 points better than the next best team in college football. And I think the next best team in college football is Florida State. And I think you saw why last night. Florida State, you know, comes out flat as a pancake. They can't even walk and chew gum. Can't even, you know, have a million penalties. Sloppy. About to get the quarterback killed. 28-6. You know, they get the big touchdown before halftime. And next thing you know, they just run away from Ole Miss. An Ole Miss team, by the way, that is loaded with pros. They have pros up and down the board on both lines of scrimmage. They have a quarterback who someday will play in the NFL. They have pro receivers. They have athletes all over the place. Ole Miss is loaded. I know some stuff is going on there off campus, off the field. They've had it's been a long 2 years for their program, you know, with Tunsil and that situation. But don't mistake, Hugh Freeze can coach and he can recruit. And that team is going to win. Ole Miss is going to win a lot of games this year. They're going to win anywhere from 10 to 11 games this year, be playing on a New Year's Day Bowl, and be probably the second best team in the SEC. They will challenge. Remember, this Ole Miss team has beaten Alabama 2 years in a row. Think about that. They play in a couple of weeks. They have a chance to beat Alabama 3 straight years. That just doesn't happen. So don't dismiss that win by Florida State. Florida State has their quarterback. The Francois kid is a tremendous player. But again, I'm not gonna say he's pro ready right now. Like I thought, 3 years ago when I watched Jameis Winston as a freshman, I thought Jameis Winston as a freshman was pro ready as a freshman, a redshirt freshman. This guy, I believe, is a true freshman. He's not pro ready right now. He will be. He is athletic. He has a big arm, and he has a big heart. Because in that first half, he took a beating. You heard Jimbo Fisher. Like, normally coaches get on the, you know, when a guy looks hesitant or when a team is struggling offensively, a coach, you know, kills the quarterback. He was like, no. Jimbo Fisher said, it's not the quarterback. It's everybody else. The quarterback's playing great. And Fisher, who is as smart of an offensive guy as there is in college football, is good. And Fisher, let's give Jimbo Fisher credit. He is as good as there is in college football in terms of making adjustments at halftime. Florida State has trailed at halftime 6 times, 7 times in the last 2 years. They are 6-1 in those games. That's not by accident. At some point, it's coaching. Like we would knock a coach if the team came out and stunk after the first half. Give Jimbo Fisher credit. Give him a credit after the first half, in the second half, with the adjustments that he makes. Florida State, again, is loaded. I can't wait until that Clemson game, not to overlook Louisville in 2 weeks, which would be a very difficult game for Florida State and in Louisville. But that Clemson game is a pseudo-championship caliber game. That is a playoff championship caliber game. In a couple of weeks at Florida State. So both those teams could get to the playoffs. The third thing, my third take out of the college football weekend was Houston. Every 5 to 10 years, you see a program that comes out of nowhere and gets everybody attention with a big win or with a string of win or a big year. And the thing they have in common is they're cocky and they're fearless. I remember growing up, Florida State did it. Bobby Bowden's motto was anytime, any place. Anytime, any place. We'll take on Michigan in the big house. We'll go wherever. We will travel wherever we have to go to make Florida State a name brand, and that's what he did, and it turned into, you know, a legendary program. Virginia Tech in the early to mid 90s, when Miami took a dip, did the same thing with Frank Beamer. Beamer ball, special teams, block punts, great field goal kickers. So I look at Houston now, and Houston to me is in that mode. Now, Houston won't have the sustained success of those two programs because I think by the time the coach gets that good, he'll be going to either a bigger program or the NFL. I mean, Herman, the coach, is great. I mean, he's a tremendous coach. They're starting to get the recruits, and more importantly, they are getting, and this is the most important thing about recruiting, they recruit their city and state. So Houston, one of the biggest cities in the state of Texas, one of the biggest, you know, biggest cities in the country, you get those players. Forget about California. Forget about Louisiana. Forget about, you know, Ohio, Michigan. You recruit your hometown, your program is going to go up another level. This is what happened with Mississippi when they started getting players from Oxford. Alabama, when Saban came in, when they were getting players from Birmingham. If you recruit your home base, your program goes to a whole nother level. And that's what Houston's doing. They are getting the Houston recruits. There's a bunch of talent in that Houston area, and that program is on the rise. That program, I'm telling you, if Herman stays there, that program is going to be a top 10, top 15, top 10 program. Watch. Watch. You watch that program. They are on the rise. They don't fear anybody. They've gone now back-to-back games beating Florida State as a double-digit underdog and Oklahoma. Now, the Florida State game, you want to say, hey, Florida State wasn't into it, bowl game, Florida State cared about making the playoffs. Okay. It wasn't a fluke, but you can say that if you want to. But this game, Oklahoma had the whole offseason to hear about Houston and what they did to Florida State, came out, took an open, you know, hit them in the mouth and hit Houston in the mouth in the beginning, but took over Houston and took over the game and just, you know, just dominated, just pushed Oklahoma all over the field. And that, to me, I was very impressed with Houston's performance. It's a big time performance for that school. And they will be in the playoff mix without question. The dud of the week goes to no other. I'm not even going to say LSU. Okay. I know a lot of people are ripping LSU and Les Miles. All they do is win 10, 11 games every year. I know last year they only won 9, but let's leave LSU alone for a second here. Notre Dame, okay. Texas, now listen, Texas is another program that could be on the rise because they ever start recruiting their base in terms of getting the state of Texas. Look out. They have as many resources as any school in the country, any school, including Michigan, USC, Alabama, Texas. That is the best job in college football right now as far as resources. But Notre Dame, can Notre Dame defend somebody in a big spot? I mean, they give up 50 points. Coming into that game, I couldn't even name three Texas players. I mean, the quarterback is a freshman. The running back, you know, the running back is supposed to be pretty, you know, 250 pounds, to be pretty good. But he's not Dalvin Cook. He's not Leonard Fournette. He's not the kid from Stanford, McCaffrey. Again, Texas could go out there and be a force in the Big 12 this year. This could be the year that Texas turns it around. But Notre Dame goes out there and gives up, again, 50 points. 50 points. I mean, somebody should tell Brian Kelly, hey, Brian, you do have to play defense at some point. Any big game on a big stage, Notre Dame's going to give up a bunch of points. Every, like, year in and year out. They're going to win their 8 to 10 games, probably play in a New Year's bowl game because of politics, but then get smashed by Ohio State or Ole Miss or a team of that ilk. because they can't defend anybody. They can't defend anybody. I mean, Texas puts 50 points on Notre Dame. 50. I'm not even going to give Notre Dame credit for coming back from 31 to 14 because you gave up 50 points. Again, Texas could be back somewhat. I'm not going to say Vince Young 2005 back, but they could be, you know, this Texas team looks like they're on their way to competing in the Big 12. 347-215-6180 is the call number as we discuss the world of sports. No, I will not leave LSU alone. God, I'm getting LSU. I didn't bash LSU. This is what I love about the Facebook thing. You can get these fans complaining about their teams. I didn't bash LSU. They lost. What do you want to say? What do you want me to say? They won? They lost the game. I said LSU is still a top program. They'll still win their 9 to 11 games, 9 to 10 games. I like Les Miles. Didn't bash LSU. I like LSU, but they lost. How about that? Speaking of LSU, now I'm going to bash LSU. And one of the all-time cheap shots in recent memory, the guy, Booty, takes out a defensive back who weighs probably 200 pounds less than him. After the play is over, he takes him out. And, you know, it's just one of the great cheap shots of all time. It was just uncalled for. The guy's going to get suspended for a game. Big deal. So, guess what, Jacksonville State? Like, who cares? Who cares about that game? 347-215-6180 is the call number. This guy coming up. This guy is a future Hall of Famer. Would you give him $100 million? We'll talk about that and the big underachiever. That and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Cop Podcast. We'll be right back. Is the call number. A couple of programming notes. We will be doing season 9 premiere Sunday, September 11th. So Sunday, September 11th, we'll be doing the season 9 premiere. Do a lot of football. Should be a good week, opening week of the NFL. We'll recap the Carolina-Denver game. I have NFL picks this year. I'm going to go over 500 this year. Going to finish with a winning record this year. So I'm trying to pick out the games. I got a couple things, a couple tricks up my sleeve as far as that goes. We'll do some September 11th stuff because that, you know, again, that's a day that we'll never forget forever. So we'll do some September 11th stuff, some, you know, some college football. Though it's going to be a quiet weekend in college football. See, that's the thing about a historic start to a college football season. That first week, the second weekend is going to be a dud. So it's not going to, you know, I think you got Tennessee, Virginia Tech, the big teams, Alabama, Florida State might as well have byes. They could play their C teams against some of the teams they're going to be playing against. So it's not going to be, again, it'll be a walkover week in college football. So the NFL will certainly take center stage and what should be a tremendous NFL season. We'll do a ton of NFL on Sunday. I'll have my Super Bowl picks, divisional picks. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins, and you know we'll do a bunch of NFL stuff. We'll might breeze by the U.S. Open. I'm not into the U.S. Open right now. I'm just not. Like, I know Serena won. Federer is not in it. Nadal had a decent showing. I know Djokovic is playing right now. I know the stadium has the one thing you won't have is a rain delay. Because you know, I got the retractable roof, but I'm just not. U.S. Open is not doing it for me right now. I'm just not into it. Maybe by the weekend, maybe Serena in the finals, passing Steffi Graf will get me into it. Djokovic Murray final might get me into it. But until then, see, this is the greatness of Federer. Federer is that transcendent of a tennis player. Like just like when you take Federer out of the mix, it's not the same tournament. It's just not. So, I'll try to get into it over the course of the weekend. Again, Serena gets number 23. That'd be a big deal. That'll be a big, a major deal. She's already tied Federer or passed Federer for all-time wins, Grand Slam wins at 308, which is insane. She passes Federer. She passes Navratilova. Yeah, I've been saying this for like 4 or 5 years. That she's the greatest, you know, women's tennis player of all time. I don't compare her to the males. This is not fair. Comparing her to a Federer or you know, somebody, Pete Sampson. It's just, I mean, you know, female versus male. That's not just a comparable comparison. It's just not. But she, you know, she's in the class by herself as far as the female tennis players goes. And she's going to go down as one of the great athletes of all time. Not great female athletes of all time. One of the great athletes of all time, without question. A couple of things that were on my mind. First of all, Drew Brees wants a contract extension. Don't we all? I would love a new contract. Like, what if I walked into my place of employment, like, can I get a $100,000 two-year, a 1 year, $100,000 deal, a $200,000? Wouldn't we love 4 years, couple of mil? Well, apparently Drew Brees wants $100 million for 4 years at age 37. Now, Drew Brees, yeah, $100 million at age 37. Now, Drew Brees is all-time great. We know we can make a case. I can make a case that Drew Brees is the greatest free agent in NFL history. He's right up there with Reggie White. Won a Super Bowl, came to New Orleans during Katrina, helped rebuild the city, the culture, did a tremendous job with that. That people of New Orleans and Louisiana will never forget that. But if you're the Saints, are you even entertaining this at this point in Drew Brees' career? And listen, Drew Brees can still play. I still think Drew Brees is still a top six or seven quarterback. I really do. Like, I think he's still playing at a relatively high level, but he's on a decline. You don't give Drew Brees $100 million. I think, you know, if you're the Saints, you can entertain trading him, which is hard to do, which rarely happens in the NFL. But there are going to be some teams, the Rams, the Cowboys, somebody's going to get hurt. I'm surprised Minnesota didn't make a call to New Orleans. I mean, they weren't giving you. Listen, if you're going to give up a first round pick to get Sam Bradford, why not give up a first round pick to possibly get Drew Brees? They're telling me New Orleans wouldn't take that call, first round, a first and a second or third for Drew Brees. I think New Orleans would have took that call. But Minnesota, of course, never made that call and ended up getting Sam Bradford, who is Mr. Glass and can't stay on the field in his own right. But if you're Drew Brees, if you're the Saints, you wait this out. You wait this out. You don't franchise him. And, you know, you say good luck in 2017. Like, I think you're not going to get good enough before he completely declines. Like, he can still play. But the Saints have so many holes in their team and in their roster. By the time you get to a championship playoff count type level, He'll be done. He'll be looking like Peyton Manning was last year, or dare I say Kobe Bryant was this year. I hate to pick on Kobe, but he wants the Kobe contract. That's how I get a sense that he wants the Kobe contract. He wants the contract to say, hey, I brought football back to New Orleans. I helped save this city. We won a Super Bowl. We have been relevant for the most part in my 10 years here. And which they have. So let me have my nice last contract so I can ride off into the sunset. And that's not how you run an NFL franchise. And again, if the Saints, we know how tricky these NFL contracts could be, but if the Saints even come close to giving them a contract of, you know, forget about the $100 million, but the, you know, 50 or 60 guaranteed that money, then they're just insane. Like, that's not a deal you make. Like, they would be setting their franchise back anywhere worth 4 to 5 years. Those are the type of moves that set your franchise back. Trust me, as a Laker fan, I know. I'm dealing with it right now as a Laker fan. Franchise is in the dumps because of that Kobe contract. And I love Kobe, but that contract was horrible, and we all know this. So, again, it'd be very interesting to see what the Saints do with Drew Brees. Because, again, you have a guy who is a pillar of the city. He, you know, is a lock. you know, is a Hall of Famer right now. He retires right now. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's a great player, a great all-time great. There's no question about it. He's been, since Drew Brees signed with New Orleans in 2006, he has been the best quarterback in football. Just go look at the stats. Statistically, he's been the best quarterback in football. So since he signed with the Saints back in 2006. Again, up until the last couple of years, the Saints have always been in the playoffs. They have been relevant, but right now, you know, that, you know, all things come to an end. You get the sense that the Brees, Peyton, that era is kind of going by. You get the sense that it's kind of trying to start over again. I mean, nothing lasts forever. You gotta re-energize the franchise at some point. I thought it would have been a perfect time to trade them in this offseason, to be honest with you. Been a perfect time to trade them. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, the Big Air Style calls himself the Big Underachiever. We'll talk about that. And trust me, we're going to talk about power. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Remember, a programming note, we're going to do our NFL show / Season 9 premiere Sunday, September 11th. We'll do a ton of NFL as we embark on another season of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Remember, Saturday is start out as a Saturday morning wake-up call, Cyril Quinn Review, 12-11 Sports Talk featuring yours truly. We've had more names than Prince. Rest in peace, Prince. But we've had a lot. The show's going through a lot of names. It's going through a lot of names. But we've had fun there. Hopefully, we can get a couple guests in regards to Chad Quinn and Rob Sapp to break down the NFL. You know, we'll see how they feel about their respective teams. I'm sure Chad Quinn is thrilled about the San Francisco 49ers. And speaking of, you know what, that was a great segue. Man, I'm pat on my back. Great segue. I didn't even mean to do that segue, but I did it anyway. Bruce Miller of the San Francisco 49ers, and this is not a laughing matter, but, you wonder what guys are thinking. He beats up a 70-year-old man and his son, who was defending his father, of course, trying to get into a hotel room. So he goes to the hotel room on a Sunday. The hotel says, "Hey, sir, we're out of rooms. We don't have any more. There are no more open rooms." Okay. Comes back Monday to the same hotel, knocks on the door, and punches the guy, a 70-year-old man, who says, "Hey, look, you got the wrong room." Now, we all have had some hotel stories before. I mean, if you've ever been double booked, that's probably the worst ever. When you walk in, like, when somebody books you and you have somebody else in your room, that has to be the worst. Like, that would piss anybody off to have to be double booked. But dude, I'm looking at Bruce Miller. You don't even have the key. You didn't even have the key. Like, why are you upset? So that's the only hotel. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, is that the only hotel? Is that the only hotel in the greater San Francisco area? Is that the only hotel in the greater San Francisco area? So now you're beating up on senior citizens. And then, you know, if you look at the YouTube video of, you know, it's like a minute and 33 seconds, it gets weird because apparently he was bloody before the cops arrested him. So I don't know, like, what happened. Did the 70-year-old get a couple shots off? How did he end up bloodied? And I mean, he looked like he was drunk and intoxicated. So, again, I'm confused by it. More will come out of this, certainly. More will come out of this. But San Francisco 49ers have had a string of arrests in the past 4 to 5 years, they've had more arrests than any team in football in the past 4 to 5 years. And it's something that I don't know how to explain this. I don't know if even San Francisco 49ers fans going back to the Bill Walsh days can explain this. But it has not been a good run for them lately, and I'm putting aside the Kaepernick stuff. The Kaepernick stuff has actually been a positive. So I'm not even talking about his deal. I'm talking about the players who are continuously getting arrested as San Francisco 49ers, as you know, playing for the San Francisco 49ers. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about Kaepernick. So you have that going on. Of course he gets cut. Again, I just don't understand the logic. Like, the hotel rooms are booked. Go to another hotel. You have money. You're in the NFL. I don't know if you're a millionaire, but I'm sure you have money to afford another hotel. I don't know. Was it something about the beds or the sheets that, you know, comfortable? What was it about that hotel that had you so pressed to where you had to have that hotel or be in that hotel? I don't get it. These are one of these stories where, I guess stuff will come out as the story goes, you know, as the days go along. I hope more details come out, because right now it just doesn't make any sense. Like, is he suffering from CTE right now? I don't get it. I don't understand. So again, another blow for the San Francisco 49ers. Like, they need anything else. Like, you know, when it rains, it pours. So we'll see how they fare this year as 2016 approaches, as the NFL season approaches. Shaquille O'Neal says that he played about 30% of his real game, that he got to play about 30% of his real game. Classic Shaq overstatement. But there's something to it. Shaquille O'Neal was probably one of the top 15 players of all time. Top 12, top 15, somewhere in that range. Fourth best center of all time, in my opinion, behind, you know, you got the Holy Trinity, Russell Jabbar Chamberlain, and then O'Neal. Some people would say Olajuwon. I would take O'Neal over Olajuwon. But, you know, Shaq could have been better. Like, Shaq, I feel like Shaq could have been a guy who should have probably averaged like 30-16, or 30-17 over the course of his career. He missed a lot of games with injuries, had a hard time staying in shape, especially the last 5 years. Listen, the last 5 years of Shaq's career, he stole money. Let's be honest. I mean, he actually stole money. He was a non-factor for the last 5 years of his career. I mean, he was older, but he couldn't stay on the floor. So, you know, he's been out now about, what, 3 or 4 years? When Shaq retired, what, 2012, I want to say, 2011? He retired about 4 or 5 years now. I want to say 2012, 13, around that time, about four years Shaq's been retired. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame along with Allen Iverson coming up. But listen, Shaq, he probably did underachieve. I mean, Shaq should probably be one of the top five players of all time, considering how dominant he was for that stretch. You think about it, from 92 when he came in the league until it was about 2002, he was at a level to where he was headed to being one of the top five players of all time. He was that dominant. And you think about that final stretch he had. That final stretch he had from 2000 to 2002 was as good a stretch that any player in the history, Jordan, Russell, whoever, Magic, LeBron, whoever, Kobe, that was as dominant of NBA finals play that you would ever see. Those three finals, he was untouchable. I mean, he was like nobody belonged on the same court with him during those three finals. He was that dominant. So, you know, I can understand why Shaq right now looks back on his career, looks back and says, hey, probably he should have had more points, should have played in more games. But Shaq, let's not get crazy here. 30% of your real game. I mean, please, let's say, you know, 30%. Let's up that number just a tad. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, trust me, we're going to talk about power. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. And remember, spoiler alert, if you have not seen the latest episode of Power, you can feel free to just turn me off. If you have not, I'm giving you a spoiler alert. You have not seen it. Okay. Let's fix my microphone here. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Again, a plot-driven episode in terms of power. I know you had the guy, Chin died. He was small potatoes. He was small potatoes. The Fremenor that whose son, you know, was chopping up the product and got caught and got killed by ghosts. Trying to save saving Tommy. Forget about him. He's small again. Small potatoes. No big character there. So put him aside for a second. Really, no big deaths on the show. It was a plot driven show. A lot of ghosts. A lot of 50 Cent with Tariq. That whole deal. I have a feeling you're going to see Tariq. 50 Cent's cousin come back from DC. That's a small prediction. I think she's going to come back. But a lot of plot-driven stuff that you saw in this episode, and again, I like the plot-driven episodes. You don't need these grand episodes of where somebody big has to die every episode. You don't need that. That's some Empire stuff where you have to have theatrics in every episode. I have a couple predictions moving forward. And again, the next episode won't be until September 18th, which is not smart considering that you're going to be competing against the NFL, the Emmys, and Empire will be starting the following week. So that's, I don't think Starz really thought that date through. Show probably should have ended Labor Day weekend. It would have been a perfect time to end the show as far as episode 10. But, putting that aside, I think that, something big is going to happen with Tariq. Because we've been seeing too much with him. I think either he's going to take out Kanan, who needs to go. 50 Cent, listen, 50 Cent has gotten, we've gotten as much acting out of 50 Cent as we should get. I frankly thought he should have went after last season, myself. But I understand, executive producer, helped create the show with Courtney Kemp Ogbo. I get it. He's 50 Cent. But you can't have him beyond, you can't have his character go beyond season 3. You cannot bring him back for season 4. You just can't. So I think something big is going to happen with him. I think Ghost is going to take out this Milan as far as maybe not killing him but getting him deported. I can see them stress Milan out to season 4 possibly. The whole Lobos arc ended with Hugo being taken out. That's over with. So I thought maybe Hugo could possibly take out Mike. I think Mike is going to get found out as being a snitch. That's coming next week. That's coming next episode. I think Angela is going to expose that. But again, Mike might not get killed. Mike might just get stretched out to season 4. Locked up or something. I don't know. But I think that's coming. But again, just two more episodes left. Again, I like the plot-driven episodes. I think these last two episodes, you're going to see a lot of action. Ruiz, of course, is back in the mix. You had the 50 Cent stuff going on with Dre, Tommy. Now, they cannot get redundant with this whole Ghost-Tommy betrayal thing. They did this once with Lobos, trying to split the two up. Now Milan's trying to get Tommy. It's kind of getting a little redundant with that. Like have Tommy either be with Ghost or have Tommy be Ghost's enemy. Like, they need to make up their minds in terms of that. Can't get redundant with that for the second time in one season. Like, we've seen this earlier in this season when he's supposed to kill Ghost, couldn't do it. That's his brother. Cool. But let's move on from that part, that aspect of the plot. Sorry for the Lala fans. It's a wrap for her. I think Tommy definitely took her out. Like, I think they left it open, but we're gonna find out probably at the beginning of the next episode that Tommy indeed followed Milan's orders to take her out. So, you know, too bad. But, you know, she served her purpose. She served her purpose. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Thanks to my Facebook audience for chiming in. The comments were definitely appreciated. I will see you in a couple of days, Sunday, for the season 9 premiere show. Have a great evening. So long.